This is Lifestyle Indy with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
All right, welcome to the show. Happy Saturday or whatever day you're listening to this broadcast, because we know it is rebroadcast on occasion. Welcome to the show, Andy Ray.
Hi, Julie.
He's back. He's our most frequent guest, right, Mary Pat?
I would say so.
I think he really is.
We like him.
We like him. He's quite a character, and he's always entertaining, and we're going to talk about what's new at the box office, what to see, what not to see. We all still love going to movies.
Okay. Given the age group of our listeners, I suppose what people really want to know is Rocket Man. Is it any good or not?
I saw it.
You did?
I loved it.
Did you like it?
Tell us.
I liked it, too.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I can't wait.
Okay, here's the inevitable comparison.
Yes, okay, yes.
You know what's coming, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, Bohemian
People
Rhapsody,
are going to want to know,
Man,
is it better than Bohemian Rhapsody?
No,
is, yes,
it's very different. You thought
very
it was?
Different, very different.
Very, very different.
I thought it was better than Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh.
Let's review. What I didn't like about Bohemian Rhapsody was it was basically a by-the-numbers biopic of Freddie Mercury that didn't really, it didn't shed any light at all on what made him tick. It didn't get inside the brain of Freddie Mercury. It did not share anything about the impetus for his ambiguous lyrics. Was he tormented by his homosexuality? Was he tormented in spite of his homosexuality? Never discussed
that.
So
you had lots of questions you wanted answered.
I had a lot of questions that were not answered in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right.
Rocket Man, totally different. It's an actual musical. It's not a biopic chock full of his greatest hits.
True.
It's an actual musical. So the Elton John songs are used to propel the action of the movie rather than just, here was his next hit, here was his next hit, here was his next hit.
Having said that, you do hear all of his hits.
You do hear most of them.
Most
Again,
of them.
He has so many, it's impossible to throw them all in.
Gosh.
But in that sense, the musical structure makes it more like La La Land than it did Bohemian Rhapsody.
I can see your point.
I mean, they break into song and dance numbers, which I liked. Now, because of that structure, I think it matters less that the songs in Rocket Man are told out of order.
Does that bother you? Is that what you're saying?
It did bother me in Bohemian Rhapsody. It bothered me a lot.
Oh.
Here, it doesn't make that much difference because the songs are used on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They're used for a musical number. So that didn't bother me
here. Those musical numbers are also about his life, an episode in his life.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when he's a little boy and he breaks into an Elton John song, yes, of course Elton hasn't written that song yet because he's just a little boy, but it fits the action of the movie at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I liked how the songs were used here.
Can I interject one thing?
Absolutely.
I think one of the most beautiful things about that movie was the relationship between Elton John and Bernie Taupin that you don't really know about.
I did, too. Yes. And... I think a lot of people mistakenly assume that Bernie Taupin, his lyricist,
mm-hmm.
was also his lover, and that's not true. Taupin was heterosexual, and that's discussed here, and Elton John had another lover, and that's discussed here, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like the way they wrote. I like how Bernie Taupin would do the lyrics like he was writing a poem, and then he'd present the lyrics to Elton John, who would sit down at the piano and spend a few hours trying to put it to music. I have heard, or I've read, that that's how Hal David and Burt Bacharach wrote.
Interesting.
Yeah, and wouldn't that make for a nice biopic?
Yeah.
One on Burt Bacharach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if anyone from Hollywood is listening, throw
well,
that...
Well, you know they are.
You know they are. So throw that one into your
okay.
list there. Taron Egerton is the guy's name who plays Elton
John.
Does
a great job.
But you know, it's not a dead-on impersonation. Rami Malek in Bohemian Rhapsody was a dead-on impersonation of Freddie Mercury. He was great. He was fantastic. Where Egerton, he more... captures the spirit of Elton John, yet we always realize we're watching an actor playing Elton John, and it doesn't bother me that way. It doesn't have to be perfect, and it isn't.
And they got to be good friends in real life through this process.
Taron Egerton and Elton
John.
Yes,
they did.
And that's great.
There's an earring in the movie, and I was watching for it because I'd read an article about it that Elton gave to Egerton, and
uh-huh.
he wore it in the movie. So I think that's sweet.
I also think it's nice that Egerton performs his own material. He's not dubbed like Rami Malek was in Bohemian Rhapsody. He's singing the Elton John songs. We're hearing the actor's voice, not Elton John's voice.
I didn't know that Rami Malek was singing,
was not singing?
No, I didn't
know
that.
No, that's Freddie. I think a lot of that is because Freddie Mercury's voice was so high, it's almost impossible to match.
Couldn't duplicate it. See, and I thought that
the timbre of his voice was very high.
All right, enough about that. Back to Rocket Man. Good movie. Good movie.
You know what else I liked about the structure of it? It was told through that Alcoholics Anonymous meeting.
Mm.
At the very beginning, Elton John shows up at an AA meeting. This is later in his life.
In full regalia.
In full regalia, and says,
"What an outfit!
My name is Elton John. I'm an alcoholic, I'm a drug addict, I'm this, that, and the other.
Oh yeah, so many things.
And then we go into the story of his life. Mm-hmm. Every now and then we'll come back to the AA meeting. Mm-hmm. Not too much, but kind of to check in. And we'll see.
You need to see it. Yeah. Are we talking like way over?
No,
here?
I'm just.
Does it make sense?
Do I need to see it?
Yes.
You absolutely do. And
if you like his music,
The AA meeting structure I like because it's not a narration. He's not narrating the story, but he's making comments. It's like all that jazz years ago where Roy Scheider played Bob Fosse, the Broadway producer. We'd check in with him every now and then, and he'd comment on the action that we've seen or we're going to see. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a true narration, and this isn't either. I like that structure. If I could make one criticism,
yes.
I think there were too many scenes of Elton John's self-destruction. Too many scenes of alcohol, drug abuse.
Yeah,
he did a lot of that, yes.
He did.
But I think they could have cut maybe 20 minutes of that and inserted some of the good things he did. There was nothing in this movie about Ryan White. There was nothing in it about the Elton John AIDS Foundation, mm-hmm. his participation in Dionne Warwick's charity song, mm-hmm. That's What Friends Are For. There was a lot of good stuff
that he did,
and that doesn't appear here.
I want to interject here.
Yes.
I've interviewed him a few times in radio.
Who, Elton John?
Yes.
Yes.
What a class act.
But
one of them was when he started the AIDS Foundation, and he had the candle that he sold. That's how he started collecting money for that foundation was that candle. So he was talking to every radio station that he could to try to sell this candle.
Yeah.
Super nice guy. But one of the things I had asked him about was that whole, you know, his party years and, you know, were you, you know, you were one of the few that didn't get AIDS. He's like, I was just very lucky.
Very.
Because he was he got around.
He was promiscuous. And the fact that he's devoted his later life to the AIDS crisis mm-hmm. is very admirable.
I agree.
He's a great individual, and it's a very good movie.
He's an excellent human being.
Excellent human being, yes. And the movie about him is good. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say it's great, but I think it's very good.
It's worth seeing.
Oh, it's worth seeing.
For sure.
There are a couple other movies about music that open up this summer, and I want to tell you about them.
Okay.
One is called Wild Rose. It opens in New York and L.A. the last week in June, which is next weekend.
Okay.
Here, I'm guessing mid-July. It's about a woman named Rose who wants to be a country singer. That's her dream. Go to Nashville, be a country singer.
There's a few of those out there.
There's a few of those out there. Now, she's got a lot of problems achieving that dream. One, she lives in rural Scotland. Two, she's just been released from prison.
Oh.
And three, she doesn't have any money.
Well, the prison part will come in handy writing those country songs.
You know it will. But she does have determination, and watching her achieve her dream is the joy of watching Wild Rose. There isn't a lot of backstory. We know that she was in prison for a few years because it had something to do with selling heroin. She says she's innocent. They don't harp on it. I like that. I was mildly curious, but I didn't have to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's got a young daughter and a young son. They have no recollection of her because she's been in jail apparently long enough that they don't remember her.
Ooh.
They've been raised by their grandmother. She's played by Julie Walters, who's a veteran British actress, been around forever. You've seen her in 100 things. So Rose, by the way, is played by Jessie Buckley. She's an Irish actress. She's been in a couple things, nothing anywhere near as big as this movie's going to be. She lands a new apartment. And heartbreaking scene, the son doesn't want to go. He cries.
Oh, yeah.
When she takes him from grandma's to go to her new apartment because who
that's
is this strange woman?
That's all he's ever known. Exactly
yeah.
right.
Who is
yeah.
this strange woman
sure.
taking away? It's a heartbreaking scene. Now, the kids still spend their days with grandma. Rose gets a job cleaning houses
mm-hmm.
For an upper middle class single mother of two whose kids are a little bit older than Rose's. Her name is Susanna, and she provides the encouragement that Rose doesn't get from her mother.
Ah.
Her mother's critical, although not stereotypically so. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are good characters, well-written. The mother and daughter relationship causes this movie to work on a whole other level than what you might expect from a musical movie about a woman who wants to be a country singer.
Is there a lot of singing in it?
A lot of singing, okay. But there's a lot of story too, a lot of family stories. I think most screenwriters wouldn't have even written children into the story. They would have preferred to concentrate on the music career. Mm-hmm. Here, this is a little more rooted in realism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get out of jail, you've got two kids, that's going to be your number one focus, mm-hmm. whether you want to be a country singer or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she does eventually make it to Nashville.
Wow.
The screenplay takes a while to get us there, and that's okay. Again, this is real life.
It sounds like you like this one.
I did. I love the look of Nashville. When she gets there, bright lights, full of people, a lot
it's
of
great
life.
City.
Whereas Scotland is portrayed as kind of drab and gray, and Nashville really comes to life. Now, I'm not going to tell you if she makes it or not because, you know, spoilers. I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Sorry. The ending, just suffice to say, the ending is very satisfying. All the loose ends are reconciled. Very realistic ending. When she belts out that final number, it is, how do I want to say, it's no less invigorating than Lady Gaga when she first takes the stage.
What?
In A Star is Born.
Oh, my.
You know how she has command
yes.
of that audience?
Oh, yes.
She, a little apprehensive at first, but then she takes command of
yeah,
the audience.
She's That's where how, she belongs.
Where she belongs. That's how we feel about Wild Rose at the end of Wild Rose.
Okay.
It, as musical performance goes, she is so good. And I know it's really early, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say, Jessie Buckley, remember that name. She should be nominated okay. for a Best Actress Oscar.
Awesome.
She is so good. I would put her performance here up with Lady Gaga
wow.
in A Star is Born.
That's high praise.
Bette Midler in The Rose.
Whoa.
Even Streisand in Funny Girl. It's
wow.
that good.
Okay.
She is that good. The movie has a few flaws. Her performance is fantastic.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Well, remember you said it, Andy Ray.
Wild Rose. It's okay. good. Now, there is another one coming out this summer that's even better.
Oh. And this is another music one.
This is another. For some reason, this is music day.
Yeah, okay.
On Lifestyle Indie.
I'm great with that.
I'm sure you are.
I do. I love music.
Okay.
So.
You've probably seen the previews for a movie called Yesterday.
Yes.
The Beatles music.
Oh, I want to like that so much. It looks so good.
You know,
uh-oh.
I knew the premise going in, and I thought, I'm not going to like this. This is too hokey.
Right. It does seem a bit hokey.
I loved it.
Well, tell Mary Pat the premise real quick, and then we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back.
Okay, it's about a struggling singer-songwriter. He's got an agent. She books him for company picnics, birthday parties. He just can't get anything going.
Like a wedding singer.
A wedding singer,
character.
Basically. Yeah, all of a sudden, there's a 12-second power outage all over the whole world. Power goes blank for 12 seconds. When it's over, nobody knows the Beatles. It's as though they never existed.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to Google them.
Yes.
He Googles the Beatles, and he gets the
beetle.
Insect,
B-E-E-T-L-E.
Yeah.
There's no Paul, Ringo.
He cannot find anything on them. He Googles John, Paul, George, and Ringo,
Nowhere.
And up comes Pope John Paul II.
Right.
Now, he Googles the Rolling Stones, and there they are. There's Mick Jagger all decked out. The Who.
Just no Beatles.
Frank Sinatra. Just no Beatles.
Which means no Beatles songs.
That's right.
Oh, dun, dun, dun. This is a teaser. We're going to be back. Our next segment, we'll talk a little bit more about Yesterday, the movie.
I can't
and the
wait.
Song. And also, hey, would you share with us maybe some great DVDs that might be worth watching?
We'll discuss that as well.
Excellent. All right. We'll be right back on Lifestyle Indie.
You're listening to Lifestyle Indie with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
Whoa. The music. Hey, maybe it knew that we're talking about music kinds of movies. All right, welcome to Lifestyle Indie. Andy Ray is our guest. He's our critic extraordinaire. Mary Pat is here, and we're talking about the movie Yesterday.
Yesterday, which opens, I think, next weekend. It's going to be big. We mentioned that nobody knows the Beatles. It's as though the Beatles didn't exist, except for this one young British singer-songwriter who has a memory of the Beatles. He knows all their songs. But since they didn't exist, he passes their music off as his own.
What?
Imagine that.
It's a good premise.
It's a good... This is why I thought it was hokey.
Yes.
I thought it was a hokey premise, but I love the movie. I love what they did with it. If you suspend belief and you just go with it, it is one of the most enjoyable times at the movies in years.
Well, and the previews lead you down the road of where the main character, he kind of feels bad about it, kind of feels guilty about the fact that he's writing these great songs because he knows they're not really his.
Now, here's another interesting thing. Since the Beatles never existed, he can't Google their lyrics and write them down. He's got to construct them from memory. Now, yesterday, not that difficult, but yeah, one of the funniest... There are several funny running
little
bits,
gags. Yep.
Little gags. One is he can never remember all the lyrics to Eleanor Rigby. And every now
funny.
And then you'll see him in an airport or somewhere. Okay, it's something about Father McKenzie darning his socks. And he cannot come up with all the lyrics to Eleanor Rigby, which is a funny running gag. Ed Sheeran is actually in this movie.
Yes.
Ed Sheeran signs this guy as his opening act on a world tour. He goes to L.A., gets a real agent. He starts appearing on talk shows. Girls start chasing him through airports. It's got kind of a Hard Day's Night feel to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were trying to channel a Hard mm-hmm. Day's Night, but it got me thinking of it. Danny Boyle's the director. He did Slumdog Millionaire, Trainspotting. This is probably his most mass appeal movie. Everybody's going to like this. The story is light as a feather. If you suspend your reality, it is a really, really fun ride. One of the most purely enjoyable films in years.
I want to say, you know, one of the trailer remarks was very cute with Ed Sheeran. It's like, you want to change the name of this probably to Hey Dude.
Instead of
Not
Hey Jude. Yes, I did think that was funny.
And he's, of course, like, what?
Yes. Here's another funny running gag. It's not just the Beatles that never existed. It's also Coca-Cola. When he asks for a Coke, people think he's asking for a cocaine. They say, oh, you mean a Pepsi? And he has to keep reminding himself every time he wants a soft drink.
So those two things went away.
Two things went away. Isn't it? Well, there's a couple other things, but I don't want to give too much away.
Don't want to live without.
Yeah, I know. So it is funny and, but as you say, he's unable to revel in the joy of his stardom because he knows he's stealing the Beatles' music. And plus, he still has feelings for his original agent. Her name is Ellie, and she's played by Lily James from Downton Abbey. I'm not going to tell you that because that's a spoiler, but I will say this. He and his original agent have more of a brother-sister relationship, and their relationship provides the anchor, which gives this screenplay a little more reality than you would think if it were just about the Beatles' music. Mm-hmm. The relationship is really the real meat of the movie Yesterday, I think. Okay. It raises this movie above the level of a summertime fantasy film. Okay. Their affair progresses methodically. They don't rush. They got to walk a fine line here. Danny Boyle, the director, walk a fine line. If they go to bed too soon, they just go straight to the sack, then
the relationship doesn't develop.
That's right.
The friendship aspect, maybe. I don't know.
That's right.
I guess we'll find out.
I wouldn't have. On the other hand, though, if the relationship never develops, then it's stagnant. You know, the movie doesn't progress.
So, and there's also that fine line of the work-romance. Slash romance. Do you do that? Do you not do that?
Well, no, remember, when he hits L.A., he gets a real agent. And she's funny. She's played by Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live. She's a stereotype, materialistic agent. She's hilarious. She almost overplays the role. Sometimes it seems like she's acting in a whole other movie than the one we're watching. But she is funny. I'll give her that. She is funny.
She's a funny lady.
There's a British actor named Joel Fry who plays Rocky. That's Jack's best friend. He's kind of a good-for-nothing. He's oblivious to what's going on. Mildly obnoxious. Can't hold down a job.
I know a lot of people like that.
I do, too. But he accompanies Jack on the world tour with Ed Sheeran. He's very much in tune with Jack's needs, from his career needs to the relationship with Ellie. He's really the glue that holds Jack's life and this movie together.
Kind of like Sam Elliott in Star is Born.
Exactly. Yes, he's the Sam Elliott role. Here's something else I thought was interesting. You don't even have to be a Beatles fan to like this movie. My wife's not a big Beatles fan, and I told her, I think you would enjoy it anyway.
Did she go?
No.
Oh, it's not out yet. Sorry.
No, I saw it at Indie Film Fest, and she did not see it. It's not out yet, but I intend to take her. But as a Beatles fan, now I'm a Beatles fan. As a Beatles fan, you cannot help but marvel at all the great music they turned out.
They have a library.
Remember, when the Beatles broke up in 1970, Ringo Starr was the oldest Beatle. He was 30.
Isn't that amazing?
In their 20s, they wrote Let It Be, The Long and Winding Road, mm-hmm. Hey Jude, Eleanor Rigby.
Yesterday. I mean, just
yesterday, go down the list. All this great music came out of those four guys when they were in their 20s. Yeah. So in a way, Yesterday works as a tribute to the Beatles. Again, you don't have to like the Beatles to enjoy the movie. Mm-hmm. But if you do like the Beatles, it's really a great testament to their great music. Mm-hmm. One of the year's best films I have seen so far. You cannot help but enjoy Yesterday.
Interesting.
Fantastically charming, very entertaining. Now, you ask what's out on DVD and Blu-ray now.
Yeah, you know, people still like to do that. I do. Go to Redbox and grab a movie for the night. Sure.
I haven't really sat down and thought about what is the best movie I've seen so far this year. Yesterday, obviously, one of them.
Okay.
Another one, and this came out real early in the year, is called Us. It's by Jordan Peele, who directed Get Out. Get Out was not my favorite.
Was that a horror movie?
It was.
I don't like that scary ones. Is Us scary?
Yes.
Ugh.
My issue with Get Out was it starts off as a movie about how some white people view black people, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a good movie about social criticism. And,
but
then
it
kind of devolves into a horror story, and I didn't like the way he took the the screenplay there. This one, no qualms about it. It's a horror movie from square one.
Okay.
So it stays true to its reality.
You like that kind of thing?
I've never been a big fan of horror movies. Now, there are certain classics that stand out, like The Exorcist or Rosemary's Baby, Halloween, of course, your first Halloween. But this one is very good. It's as good as any Stephen King horror story ever filmed.
Who wrote it? No. Did it come from a novel?
I believe it's an original screenplay. Okay. Yes, it's an original screenplay by Jordan Peele.
All right.
And you notice I say as good as any Stephen King horror story ever filmed, because that would eliminate Stand By Me and The Shawshank Redemption, which I don't consider horror.
Right, like It is what you're talking about.
That's right,
that kind of a
It
thing.
Or Carrie, or that kind of thing that Stephen King wrote. Mm-hmm. It's as good as any of that.
Okay.
It's up there with The Shining.
Okay.
I mean, I'd say it's that good. Huh. Yeah. It's about a girl who, in 1986, she was on the boardwalk in Santa Cruz, California with her parents. And her mom went off to the restroom, her dad was playing a game, won her a Michael Jackson Thriller t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
The girl wandered off to...
Oh, no.
Wandered off on the beach. Six, eight.
Little.
Went into an abandoned house of mirrors and found her exact body double, not a mirror image. This was an actual girl.
Doppelganger.
A doppelganger.
What?
Okay, so years later, this girl has a family. She's married. They have two kids of their own. They go back to Santa Cruz on vacation, go to the same beach... And the doppelganger, there's a family of doppelgangers that appears outside their house. Their timeshare. They have a timeshare.
Creepy.
And very creepy.
Never even heard that word before.
Doppelganger?
Yeah. Doppelganger. That's like an exact body double.
Person that looks exactly like
now.
You. Yeah, now you know. See, you learned something on this show. It's very educational.
This
sounds scary.
It is scary, but it's good, though, because it stays true to the reality that it establishes for itself early on, and it doesn't pull any rabbits out of hats. So often in horror movies, we see action just come out of nowhere.
Okay.
Or something will happen that doesn't make any sense within the context of the movie. You don't get that here, and I really appreciated that because that puts it already a notch above other horror movies.
And we're talking about the movie Us. That's out on DVD.
That's Us. It's out on DVD. That's one of the year's best. Another of the year's best, maybe you remember this was out earlier in the year, it's called The Mustang. It was executive produced by Robert Redford.
Oh.
And it's about a prisoner who gets involved in a program to tame wild Mustangs for auction. The guy's played by a Belgian actor, and Matthias Schoenaerts is his name. He's fantastic.
Oh, okay.
Career-making turn for him. He's halfway through his sentence for domestic violence against his wife, and he gets invited into this program. He does have a problem controlling his temper, but then, as we learn, all of his prison mates do too. Everybody in prison has a problem controlling his temper. That's typically why they're in prison in the first place. There's a bit of a heartbreaking scene where he takes out his temper on the horse.
Oh!
And no horse was harmed in the making this movie. Okay, we get that. In fact, that's in the credits.
Okay.
But yeah, he takes out his temper on the horse, and he's sentenced to solitary confinement for a period of time. Mm-hmm. When he comes out, he gets back with the horse, but what's fascinating is he can't take out his temper on the horse. You know, he's got to earn the horse's respect back. The horse remembers this guy.
Sure.
You know, he can't take it out on the horse. He can't take it out on anybody else because
so
he's alone in the pen.
Right.
He learns to deal with his anger.
Yeah, do some push-ups, dude.
That's right. And this Matthias Schoenaerts, we see him internalize his anger.
Mm-hmm.
We see him. We don't need a narrator. In other words, we see that he's internalizing his anger. He knows he's got to train the horse because you know the auction is coming up. The horse has got to be trained. It's excellent. He's excellent. My favorite part of it is the relationship with his daughter. His daughter comes to see him. She's pregnant and she needs him to sign some legal documents or something. She comes to see him. They don't have a good relationship, but she keeps coming to see him 3-4 times more in the movie, and as their relationship deepens and they kind of get back together again, that's, in my opinion, was actually a more interesting story than The Taming of the Horse, which was interesting in and of itself.
Okay.
It's a very good movie.
Okay. That's the Mustang.
That's called the Mustang.
The Mustang. You have one more to share with us? We've got time for one more. We've got a couple more minutes.
Do you remember one called Gloria Bell? It was out early in the year.
Is that the name of a person?
That's the name of the movie. Julianne Moore plays Gloria Bell. She's a 50-something with two adult children. She's been divorced for about 11 years, and she dances the nights at a local disco to a lot of great old music, which you would just love.
I would.
She hasn't found a guy, and then she meets a guy named Arnold. He also has two adult children, and he's played by John Turturro, who was a wonderful character actor, and we don't see him enough anymore. You would know him. He was in a lot of things back in the 90s.
Very recognizable.
Very recognizable, but there are two different places in their lives. He's just recently been divorced. Their relationship, the adult relationship develops. The guy, John Turturro's character, doesn't even tell his adult kids that he's in a relationship.
Okay.
His divorce is so new.
So fresh, yeah.
Yeah, so fresh. Too soon. Where she invites him to meet with her kids and her family, and he becomes a part of her family where he's very standoffish. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that they're in two totally different places in their lives, and that's what makes it interesting. Now, there is a couple of false scenes later on which I thought were too Hollywood.
Okay.
That would never have happened in real life.
But still worth seeing.
Worth seeing, yes.
Gloria Bell.
Gloria Bell. If I had to pick, half a dozen movies that have been out so far this year for you to see, I would say that would probably be six. Six on the list.
Okay.
Five or six, something like that.
So let me ask you this before we let you go. Do you binge watch any of the Amazon, Netflix, HBO Go, any of that stuff? Just curious.
Typically, no.
Okay, all right.
I have too much to do.
If
I see a movie, it's going to be one at a time.
Got it.
I'll think about it and write about it and get my reviews posted, and then I'll watch another one.
Andy, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show. And
thanks for having me.
As always, please come back.
I certainly will.
And you're listening to Lifestyle Indie on Freedom 95.